Thank you for joining us today. You are listening to the Anointed Ministry teaching of Prophet Grace Scales, where we experience the presence of the Lord as we explore His Word. Now let's dive in and enjoy today's teaching.
Hello, I am Prophet Grace Scales of Joliet, Illinois, and it's such a pleasure to be with you again for another time to look into the Word of God and see what He will unveil to us in this new session. In a few sessions, we discussed how important order is to God the Father. We peered into unity and some of the things that can disrupt unity and cause breakdown within the body of Christ. So let's plunge right in and begin unpacking some more nuggets from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 4. It reads, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Notice that the word one is repeated 7 times in verse 6 alone regarding the persons of the Godhead, and 4 times regarding aspects of His salvation. Now, all believers in Christ belong to one body. All are united under one head, who is Christ Himself. If we look back again at Romans 12, 3 through 5, we see here that Paul is urging the believer to be, might I say, humble in their service in the body of Christ. He begins by telling us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, with the faith that God has dispensed to each of us. Romans 12, 3 through 5 reads, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Did you hear that? Each member belongs to all the others. As we mentioned in our last session, in spite of the differences that we have in race, our color, the nationality, culture, language, and temperament, there is only one body in the body of Christ from the time of Pentecost to the time of the rapture. When we set up denominations and sects and varying parties, it hinders this truth from being manifested in the earth realm through the body of Christ as a whole. So let's look at the word hinder. What does it mean to hinder something? How can this cause a major breakdown to the advancement of truth, or the truth of God's word touching the lives of others? Well, some definitions of to hinder is to hamper, to impede, to deter, to obstruct, to restrain, or to control. And ironically, one of the definitions of control is denomination. Just this past week, I was conversing with a fellow believer, and the Holy Spirit brought to my mind's eye a perfect example of what it means to hinder or to impede progress of something. He said, "Think about a small stream of water flowing over an area where the ground is marshy and it's pretty rocky soil underneath. Initially, the water flows steadily, unhindered by the rocks, as it meanders its way over the marshy ground. But as it moves in a forward motion, it starts to pick up speed and consequently begins to pick up some debris along the way as it's flowing over this path. It starts to gather sticks, brushes, and other items that begin to encumber its forward movement. The water eventually is going to reach an area where the ground is slightly sloped and it goes downward. And then once again, it picks up speed as the slope becomes steeper and turns into a stream on a much hillier path. As it flows over the hilly area, The once small stream gets wider and it gets stronger. Finally, it reaches a larger stream of water, and then it flows into that stream. At the mouth of this larger stream, the brushes, the sticks, and the rocks, and other debris that it's gathered as it's going along the way or flowing along the way becomes lodged as the water rushes into the larger stream. Now, there's a spot at this place. The flow of the water is hindered then, and it's obstructed from freely flowing into the larger stream of water, and it piles up. Now, if any of you are like me, you love fishing, you know you've seen a spot like this where the brush has reached a plateau or a place where it gets lodged and it gets stuck there, and then the water is rushing over and then it's going over that spot. All of us have seen places like this where it's obstructed and it has encumbrances. Well, let's view this through some spiritual lenses. Can you see it? Truths that are impeded, hampered, obstructed, restrained, and might I say controlled by unfruitful differences. These things control the minds of those who would otherwise be moving forward in the area of unity, in the faith, and the kingdom of God as one body. Now let's think a minute about what the water does when it reaches this place of obstruction. Each molecule, now, you know, a body of water, it has millions and billions of molecules. Well, each molecule doesn't say, we've come to a place where we're going to have to go our separate ways in order to get around this obstacle. No, they don't. They form a union and they fuse together for a greater push against the obstruction, and they flow right over, or they flow around, or they just go straight through this pile of brush or debris that's there as an encumbrance. They form this alliance, and through their alliance, they unify, linking millions of molecules to other molecules to form a larger body of water by doing so. And as they do that, they spread, they widen, and they broaden their territory into a much larger body of water. Because of their unity, the millions of molecules, now a larger body of water, they are not controlled or hampered from flowing into the larger body of water. These millions of molecules are not in competition with one another. They don't refuse to flow the same direction because they're in competition, but the whole flows in mutual respect and harmony together to form one larger body of water. And think about this. The human body is an illustration of unity and diversity. The body is one, yet many members, although all of the believers are different to perform different functions, yet they all combine to make one functioning unit, which is the body. The Apostle Paul talks about this concept when he speaks on the various gifts given to the body in 1 Corinthians 12, that is to the body of Christ, and how we became members of the body of Christ, and that by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Paul uses the concept of the human body, it being single with many members, to teach how Christians should live and work together. Just as the parts of the body function under the direction of the brain, so Christians are to work together under the command and the authority of Jesus Christ, just as the stream of water navigates under the laws of nature. This one body of Christ, which has been established, so established, has many members from many backgrounds, and each one is necessary and each one is important. It's the one Spirit who does all the working, the organizing, the administrating, and bringing about the effective work of Christ in believers' lives. The work of the one Spirit brings a common bond to each life. There is a sense of unity with Him and each other, a sense of close contact and fellowship, deep, lasting, and it's eternal. When it's the Spirit doing the work, it produces certain specific results and it produces fruit all of the time. Bond or free, God is no respecter of persons. He does not look on the social attainment, our economic status, or the influence of our heredity. He looks on the heart. According to his promise in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 10, God has poured out his spirit on all flesh. This diversity in unity is illustrated in several ways. Paul used the illustration of the foot and the hand. The foot might feel inadequate in comparison with the agility of the hand, but the foot has a function that is vital also. Our entire body could not get around if we didn't have the foot. Of course, we can do the artificial thing, but the natural body has the foot, and it is vitally necessary. Paul went on to comparison of the ear and the eye. Again, the sense of insufficiency and inferiority could arise here. The eye carries a great deal of responsibility and is an obvious part of the body. Should that make the ear feel uninvolved or unimportant because its function is less obvious? Why no? Or can it say that because it's not another member of the body, that it's not a part of the body? Absolutely not. Our heart is very critical. We can't see it, but it's in a hidden spot. But is it very critical to the body? The body would shut down if the heart shuts down. We can't place enough importance on even those hidden parts like the liver and the kidneys and so forth. You don't see them, but we definitely need them. So we all have to, even if we have to have a less visible position, every body member is important. So then division has no part in a unified body of members. The individual members must respect one another because each has a necessary function in a healthy body. The plan and the design of the human body was done very carefully by God. Nothing was left to chance, or nothing was left to accident. The plan was predicated on his wisdom and his love, and it pleases him to see the body working well and in unity. What is true of the physical body is also true of the church, the body of Christ. We should be striving to work in unity because none of us are here just by chance. I hope you've enjoyed this message and you've got something out of it this week. We'll begin again in our next session. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to the Prophet Grayscales of Grayscales Ministries, where you grow and balance life by the sword of the Spirit. We are honored you chose to join us today and pray you have been blessed by the message. We look forward to your presence with us again next week for more teaching. Until then, please take an opportunity to share this message with others. You are welcome to share your comments or contact Grace at graceadls@outlook.com. Please remember to keep your comments respectful.